In minutes, the colony had sunk entirely beneath the ground, leaving only plains of crops and abandoned machinery. The cracks in the sky had widened until she could see the void beyond. She cast out her will, taking control over the formation circles. Even as the one who designed them, she found it difficult. These were complex structures, and controlling them one at a time required great skill and concentration. Controlling three was a point of pride. As soon as her presence indicated that someone had slipped through the spatial crack, she fired. Each of the three circles released a white-hot beam of destructive energy that thundered through the air, focusing on the crack. She had over-fortified this world, both in her zeal to protect it and out of a lack of other things to do. Any one of these formations was powerful enough to scour Iteration 986 clean in a single blast. Three at the same time released a blinding light and a deafening roar. Her presence automatically protected her eyes and ears, throwing up a barrier around her to protect from the furious explosion of wind that tore up the plains for kilometers, shredding crops, sending a ring of dust blasting into the distance. As a Titan, she had been trained to produce shields and barriers of all kinds. With her best efforts, she could maybe have defended against one of these attacks. She would have no hope against all three. She trembled and caught her breath as the dust settled, trying to convince herself that this would be all there was to it. Her defenses had worked. The threat was over. "Incoming," her presence warned her, and Parayana drew on the way. A perfect cube of blue power surrounded her, protecting her. It was just in time. A cloud of black smoke stretched out from the crack in the world, forming into a mouth full of razor-sharp teeth. It bit down on her, large enough to swallow her whole, but had caught a mouthful of her Titan barrier instead. The teeth scrabbled on the solid edges of the blue cube for a moment, trying to find a purchase. Then her barrier began to break. Panic threatened to swallow her from the inside. She had yet to catch a glimpse of the enemy, and they had already shrugged off her best attack and casually broken her defense. This was not a probe or a scout. It was a true assault. And she was alone. Parayana reached out for her formations again, turning them onto her enemy, but a spike of pain lanced through her brain, and suddenly she could feel the defenses no more.
"Your authority has been overridden," her presence told her.
Impossible. She had designed and placed those circles herself. How could someone take them from her this easily? But even to her eyes, the truth was clear. The golden formations were shot through with red light, and as she watched, they turned to focus on her. The jaws stopped chewing on her barrier, the column of smoke slithering back to its summoner. Only then did she get a look at her attackers. Four enemies of the Abaddon floated in the air before her. The first looked to be a standard human with dark brown skin, wearing a helmet with a pane of transparent red glass covering his face. Red light streamed from his fingertips, and its signature matched what had taken over her formations. The second was an aquatic-adapted human, with slick blue skin, no hair, and gills at the side of her neck. She carried a pair of sickles that looked as though they had been torn off of a giant purple mantis, each of which carried a dark power that suggested they should be sealed away in an Abaddon vault. The woman looked at Parayana with clear hatred, as though the Abaddon had personally offended her. She could see nothing of the third figure. He, she, or it, was covered in a mechanical suit of synthetic fabric and steel. They carried a rifle, and even without examining it carefully, Parayana could tell the weapon carried far more power than her formations had. It felt like the sealed form of one of the judge's weapons. It terrified her. The final invader was another standard human, with pale skin and long black hair tied into a tail that fluttered in the wind. She wore furs and leathers that looked as though they had been taken from a dark furred lion, and they gave her a barbaric air. The black smoke drifted around her palm. Her dark eyes surveyed Parayana with absolute disregard. The Abaddon's presence whispered,
"All four match descriptions of 10th generation Roshir."
Parayana didn't ask for their names. It wouldn't help. The first generation of Roshir had worked for the Abaddon long ago. They lived to shatter the Eladari Pact and see the Court of Seven cast down. It was not a grudge that she could resolve. In the face of her death, Parayana reached out to the Way. The touch of its absolute order soothed her. But she couldn't fight the